Hey, what's up, everybody? Man, so good to be with you. Want to welcome everybody that's here today, especially if you are a guest. If this is your first time to be with us, man, you picked a wild weekend to be here, literally quite wild. And I want to say hello to anybody that may be able to not get into this room. If you are in additional seating, man, we're so glad that you're here. And I hate the fact that you couldn't get into the room, but I still think that it's going to be a really powerful experience for everybody. And today is going to feel a little bit different than a normal weekend service, but in the best possible way. And a few things that I want you to know just to kind of frame up our time together is, first of all, and I think this is really important, is this is not a show. And it's not meant to be entertainment. And while your attention is going to be fixated on the horse, and that's totally understandable, and there's going to be some things about it that will be, you know, somewhat entertaining, this isn't about a horse. What you're about to observe in the next hour or so is a picture of the human heart. And the horse is just a living, breathing, 1,000-pound illustration. And whether you realize it or not, every single one of us, including me, we all walked in here today with something in common. We all have this desire to be free, but something is enslaving us. We desire to have peace, but there's something that's disrupting that. We desire to be in control, but the more that we clamor for control, it seems like the more we lose it. And I think part of the reason why is we feel so anxious and guarded and resistant and skeptical, and we don't trust very easily. And the Bible has a term to describe that posture. It's called enslaved to sin. And in order to break free from that, you and I are going to need to learn to trust something, to trust someone outside of ourselves. And we've got to be released from its control. In order to do that, we've got to fully surrender. And to find an authentic connection, I'm going to have to let go of fear. And the horse that you see behind me is strong and powerful and beautiful. But that horse doesn't yet know who he is. And that's sort of what makes him somewhat undomesticated and sort of wild. And it's a bit counterintuitive because that is a powerful horse, but it is not as powerful as it could be. So I don't want you to watch this as a spectator. What I'd really like for you to do over the course of the next hour is I want you to watch this like you're looking into a mirror and ask God, how can I relate to what is happening right now between the horse and Todd? I want you to look for yourself. I want you to look into its eyes and see what it is that you're afraid of. So I wanna bring up our special guest, Todd Pierce. So if you would, put your hands together as we, as Todd comes on up, man. Get up here, you big stud.
Yeah.
You're looking good. You look better than last night. And I want you guys to know that Todd and I got introduced through some mutual friends a little over a year ago, and he was here for our men's night last May, and we just became fast friends and have stayed in touch, texting back and forth throughout the year. And one of the things that I love about Todd is he is just the absolute real deal. I wish that every single one of you could sit down and have a conversation with him. Last year, right before he headed out of town, my wife and my son went to dinner with Todd and his son, and he just like just honed right in and just connected with my wife and connected with my son. As I was paying the bill, I turned around. He's got my son in the corner just talking to him and encouraging him. And he flew in a couple days ago, and we went out to dinner together, and we're just sitting across the booth just catching up. And I don't know at what point in the dinner, it was like somewhere after the appetizers, he started pastoring me. And I don't even think he fully knew he was doing it, but he was. And, you know, as the longer that I've done this and the older that I get, the list of individuals that can pastor me seems to get smaller and smaller. And Todd began to pastor me, and it moved me deeply, just the things that he was saying to me. And so what you're going to see him do over the course of the next hour, it is not an act. He does not have a script. This is not something that he is like set out to do, to like build a platform or anything like that. It's who he is. And I'm really excited introduce you guys to him and to see what is going to happen over the course of the next hour. Todd, thanks for being here, man. How you feeling? I haven't talked to you yet today.
A little nervous. I had to go. Never mind. I had to go. And
okay. We understand. Yeah, understand.
Race horses do it all frequently before they have to run. And for some reason, I just felt like a nervousness. So thanks for asking.
Good. Yeah.
And after you introduced me, I feel a little sheepish, like, oh, no. But thank you. And you've trusted me with something that you and Lindsay have just dedicated your life to. And so what a special thing.
Well, we love you. And I trust this platform to you because I know that what's going to come out of you is going to bless me. It's going to bless all of us. And so I'm going to leave you to it, man. Good luck.
All right.
He looks a little intimidating. This is the first time you've seen him, isn't it?
Yeah. In fact, I don't even know the age yet. So we're going to, on purpose, don't know anything about the horse because it helps me just be me and not have any preconceived ideas.
Yeah, like Todd and his team didn't bring this horse. We had to find the horse. This is the first time Todd's meeting it. He'll tell you all that. But anything you want us to know before you jump in the ring?
No, other than we have a countdown clock. That'll help.
Yeah, it does help.
It does.
I ignore the countdown clock most of the time.
Do you? Hey, it's Friday night, so what else do we got to do?
No, it's Saturday night. It's Saturday night.
Oh, is it?
It's Saturday night.
Well, that's better yet. Well, welcome to, I'm from Idaho. We still use a sundial up there, and it's like last May, so we're catching up.
Hey, man, do your thing.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Yeah, love you. Yep.
So, first thing I learned about the guy is that he's a fighter, and I like that about people, not just necessarily physically, but there's something that begets something else. And so when I was here for men's night, first of all, I was just amazed that this place was packed on a Friday night. Hey, I got that one right. On a Friday night, this place was packed with men that were just hungry to hear the truth and to become better men. And there was like, I went back to our team and I just, like, my heart was so full because sometimes we feel like, oh no, the sky's falling. Where's the man? What's happening in our culture? Things are falling apart. I got some really good news. Everything's coming together. Right as planned. And regardless of what it is your perception of humanity is or what's going on in the world, we are on this side of a veil that's very thin, declaring this thing that Jesus taught us to do. Father, Papa, Daddy, we love you and we pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in this room tonight, the same way it's being done in heaven, so that we can be the light that you called us, the light of the world, so that the whole world would get hope invested back into it, and so that we could carry this light so other people can see. We're not ambassadors of religion or a belief system. We are hosts of heaven. We are hosts of Holy Spirit, purchased through the blood of Jesus that gives us rights to be sons and daughters of God. And it's because of that really, really deep conviction. What am I doing? We're going to work with a horse. I have this deep conviction, though, that makes it to where this, as Aaron said, is not going to become just a metaphor or an illustration. We get to see a transformation, something that maybe you didn't believe was possible, that there's this kingdom that shows up, and if you're open to it, this would be being declared over you right now, whether you believe that you're saved, you're a Christian or not. Jesus still stands in this place of, hey, I stand at the door and I knock. If you allow me to come in, I'll come in and I'll have communion with you. I'll become one with you to such a degree that it transforms who you are. We become new creations. And because this horse has no clue, it doesn't even have a grid for, hey, I'm lost, I'm confused, I'm scared, I'm in prison. So it's not even gonna do him any good for me to, if I could tell him something that, hey, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he's anointed me for this good work, that the words of Jesus, if we actually knew what Jesus' intention was when he made this declaration, that he said, I'm here to set everybody free. You're in bondage and I'm here to set you free. Britton, she, he, I can't see from here. Yielding. So he doesn't know that he's in prison. He doesn't know that he's stuck, and he doesn't know that everything in his life has been so minimized down to him figuring out how to stay comfortable and how to stay alive, that he doesn't know that he needs to be set free. So I'm gonna introduce myself to him a little bit, and in a way that horses understand communication, I'm gonna ask him to move around a little bit because he's been handled enough by people and nobody's actually ever been on him. So he'd be what you'd consider completely untrained. So nobody's been on him or he's never been saddled. And so because of the handling that he's had, he's already got an idea of who I am based on his experiences. And that becomes a super dangerous presupposition or preconceived idea that we could have is, I already know who God is. I already know what Jesus' plans are for me. And I invite you to be like me, to where we can be childlike again and say that, do I? And is there something that you want to teach me tonight, Father? Because I open myself to be taught. And I don't know if you guys can hear it, but he's got kind of a snort in his breathing, which is kind of cool. But as I'm asking him to move, while he's moving, and just that little drop of his head there for a second, and a willingness that he's showing me with his ears that he wants to look at me. There's the snort. Yeah. Attaboy. Attaboy. Lots of new smells, sounds, vibrations. He's aware of what's going on around him, but he's becoming more and more aware of me. And I can feel that this is what's happening even right now. So many of you are like, oh, God is so near. This isn't some far off thing that we're having a communication with. We're actually in a room filled with the glory and the presence of God. And that he puts power on words to where they're not just humans communicating with humans, it's spirit communicating with spirit. Attaboy. So good. So good. So I'm just seeing him out of my peripheral vision right now, but everything that he's doing right now was, yes, sir, show me something. Like I'm actually realizing that I need something. Doesn't know how to trust, doesn't know what to do with any of it, but the curiosity that says, could it be true? That something that I've had my own ideas about is so much better than I ever thought was possible. That all of his experiences with what I'll translate into humans is shame, embarrassment, humiliation, punishment, things that make it to where the closer you get to someone that says that they love you, the scarier it gets. Because that's been his experience. Him not even wanting me to touch him. I understand it. Just because he's telling me his story right now, I know nothing about him, but I know right now that there have been some really unpleasant things to where he's never really felt like he could be completely safe. Not this close to a human. That's a good boy. because I want him to feel me, not just see me. To me, it's like scripture comes alive again. And we realize that the word of God made flesh dwelling among us, resurrected from a grave, and is still the word of God dwelling among us. And we get this tangible reality that something's happening. And the something for him right now is, man, this feels good. This feels good to be close to something that I don't understand. But the power that he carries is something that continues to fascinate him. But because of his ideas, there's going to be some reactions that he's going to show us that I suspect, I don't know. Can I explain it to you something about him? Over here, he's seeing me out of his left eye. And when I'm right here, he's only seeing me out of the other eye. And I can see his pulse and the change that happens from side to side. He's experiencing something that he's wanting to just figure out. And if he could sort me out, then he's gonna feel a lot more at peace. And it's what's amazing is when I get in this place that we could call a blind spot behind him, or he allows me into this spot that he doesn't know what the future is gonna hold, that the surrender for me to be able to become one with him and be in this spot of vulnerability. There's no other way for us to get there other than him to extend trust. And for me to be one that would model what Jesus did, to where he didn't wait for us to come to him, but he pursued us. And what's happening in this space right now is that we just feel like this, the weightiness of God, the presence of God that's making it to where we're just feeling drawn to him. I don't know where this horse came from, but he's got long gray hairs. How old is he? He's 4 years old. Wow. I wonder why they waited till four. Normally, they'll start a horse like this at two or three. Not old enough to have gray hair. Looks like he came from Idaho, where I'm from. Kind of the woolly mammoth thing. So good. I'm gonna work around with him a little bit here for a second and just let Austin worship over you guys, because there's gonna be some time right now where you can decide where you wanna put yourself in this picture, because we all have our stories as we walked in here, and we've got our ideas on what life's about and what it is that our significance is in the story that we're living in. What it is that we're committed to.
Over the water, Spirit, come move over us. stoners come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you'll fill me, come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you'll fill me. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on. Rest on us, fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us, come rest on us, come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you'll fill. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you'll fill me.
It's so good. I think we're going to find ways to relate to this, because in his world, there's always been somebody that's ruling. And he's found his place in the herd. He's found his place in society. And I want you to at least be curious enough and open enough to challenge where it is that you are, whether you're old or whether you're young. Because him yielding to me is going to be a big decision, and I'm not sure what he's going to do with it. But the opportunity that's available to him, and what it is that happens in the human heart when we know what it's like to get out of a prison. It's a big deal. He's not really sure where to go. He's just surprised that as he's moving, I'm moving with him. Nobody's supposed to be there. Because this is initially such a foreign thing for him. What's happened in the last 10 minutes makes it where something that was impossible 10 minutes ago just became possible. I think right now I feel like we just call it ruthless trust. That something happened to where beyond what he could intellectualize, he's been convinced of something that for now makes it to where he just wants me to stay near. And now that he knows that I can be here, because right now he just can't even really see me. He's gonna have to shake it off a little bit. So we're just gonna see if he'll move a little bit, because It's like we know Jesus is the Lamb of God. We need to not forget that he's also the Lion of Judah. And there's something to where, out of all the beauty and the kindness and the gentleness that I'm showing him, that he realizes that he hasn't just submitted to a passive man, that he's actually been caught up in something that's so powerful, that the fact that my disposition isn't going to change regardless of what he does, that it's going to build the confidence to where his insecurities and the things that's going to make it to where he once was going to try to be defensive or self-protective, that how quickly he's going to just yield and come back to this place to where I want to be near. And me again and again saying, I want to be near. This is going to last forever. Hope you're listening to this declaration over us, because it's not just a song that's being sung. This becomes what sons and daughters of God just joyfully join in with on this side of the veil, that we're going to live this life in this hunger and thirst for righteousness, that this childlike faith makes it to where Holy Spirit, this same Spirit that you rose Jesus from the dead, is now going to dwell within us. That this is the hope, that we're not just trying to figure this out on our own. And if this can be representative of going from one that says that I'm a follower of Jesus to one that's now consumed with Jesus, and that his Spirit has now filled us. It's different, way different. And just because, like, Holy Spirit is like fire. It's crazy. That when the Holy Spirit comes and he burns up everything that's unclean, it makes it to where we can be ones that are consumed with a fire. I don't know if that imagery can work for you, but he's figuring out that, oh my gosh, this is for real. Like, me saying yes to this just changed my entire operating systems to where I can't see something in front of me to follow, but there's something inside of me that's compelling me. Yeah. Got dirt in my ear. That was wild, huh? Now he's like, I'm not sure if we want to move, because every time I move, you fall off. It's just kind of a... Let's take a step forward. Come on. It's a good boy. It's a good boy. It's a good boy. We can do this together. So the reactions that he's had, everything that he's experienced is that somebody's going to fight him back. There's got to be some punishment involved here. Where do I stand? Because I'm still in this place that he's had to submit to. What do we do when we know that we've said yes to the King of Kings and the Spirit that now we've yielded ourselves to? We know that we're still struggling with our fear and our insecurities. We're still reacting. We're still trying to just pursue pleasure. Our selfishness and our greed continues to become such a part of our story. I'm not sure what to do with it. And because he at least had two decent experiences, that there was no punishment, there was no shame, there was no, nothing changed within me. The confidence that he's getting that I'm never going to leave him or forsake him, that it's a life that becomes so transformed that now he's kind of undone and he's circling to the right because of so many stories that I can just see that have happened in his life, because everybody that has approached him up until this point, just because this is what horsemen do, has come at him from this side. You've been approached and confronted by so many different theologies that you've got your guard up. And so it's just the kindness of God to say that, hey, can we just look at this from a different angle for a second? Because over here, he feels free to move because it's new and he's actually hearing me. He's not filtering it through all of his past hurts. He's not filtering it through all of his preconceived ideas. There's no shame or apprehension on this side. And when a horse becomes this polarized, oh, it breaks my heart because I don't know what happened. All I know is that it hurt. And it put so much fear in him that I don't know how long it will take for him to say yes over here. But I want him to, not because I need to have control of him. I need to because I want him to be free. And he's never going to be free when he's living in fear of what I might do if I find out about this part of his life. We're going to decide who to partner with in this life as we're doing relationships. And if we decide that our job is to continue to judge each other and punish each other and try to guilt people into submission, then I promise we're partnering with something that's never going to win. That was a big step. That would be like the one step for... How'd that go? There's a guy that walked on the moon and said, it's one step for... Whatever, you guys know what I'm talking about. That was a big step for him, because he was looking at me through this lens that's filled with all this fear, and he still did it. It was the courage that he was borrowing from me to do something that he's never done. And I don't know who it is that you get your courage from, but if it's not from God, then it's, I promise you, way less courage than what it is that we're capable of. And we're living in a time where, man, we better be courageous. We better know what to do. And if you don't know, I know a perfect father that just loves to have sons. Daughters, you can just listen in. Loves to have sons that will just trust him, knowing that his ways are so much better than your ways. And if you're settling for your own pleasures, you're settling for a life that is just trying to figure out how to do the right thing. It's not powerful. There's too much fear involved. And I'm not going to make a big deal out of this, but this lens that he keeps seeing through, I'm just really, really going to celebrate his movement with his front end every time he moves it towards me, because he can only see me out of that eye that's been filled with fear. So good. So good, buddy. Those that come to God must first of all believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's a beautiful thing for me to consider, because I don't stand up here as though I'm the preacher that's got this all figured out and I'm living this life of no fear. But perfect love does cast out all fear. So when I'm afraid, at least I know where to go with it. Even if I have my meltdown and my fits and even say my angry words, there's a place for me to run to, a safety, a shelter. It's like in the book of Psalms, there's one place where he talks about us being, him being the shepherd that leads us to green pastures. But then over 100 times, he uses war as a reference. And if we think that this was just a life so that we could figure out how to get comfortable and people start shooting at us, we're unprepared. We don't know what to do. So if we realize that our masculinity has been the thing that's been under assault, and know that somehow we showed up to a gunfight with a knife, that we're in the best place on planet Earth right now to receive this power from heaven that makes it to where not only do you receive the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, but you're doing it in a community of others that have just decided that this is our resolve. It's not magic here. It's just where he feels safe and he wants to move. He feels paralyzed on the other side, and we're not going to continue to just pick on it. Besides, I can only hit the ground so many times before my wife calls me. You're in a church where you've got a pastor that's got the guts to tell you the truth. So I can say some things tonight that are gonna be, maybe seem oversimplistic, not the whole truth. You're gonna get it, but it's always gonna lead to this place where, will you say yes? Yes, Lord, have your way in me. Yes, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Yes, Lord. Teach me how to live a lifestyle of repentance. Yes, Lord. Expose the things in me that need to be exposed. Yes, Lord. If you can just say yes, Lord, would you raise your hand? There was a lot of pressure on that. Let's stop for a second. Austin, worship over us. Consider this, because I'm going to ask again.
It's constant in the trial and the change. this one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. For it overwhelms and satisfies my soul, and I never ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains. This one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love, your love in death. I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. And my debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love, love of Jesus, is great.
Words matter. And so I want to use a word that I think some of you are going to need to hear, because in some ways it's been overused, but I think it's been underdefined. And the word is trauma. Because something's happened that's made it to where he feels paralyzed in a place that, because of all of his experiences, he doesn't know how to move into that place. And Holy Spirit is so good at just helping us see where it is that we got our fear from and why it is that it's important that we address it, because it becomes a blind spot and we get picked on in the spirit realm because of that. That me covering him, knowing that I want him to feel protected in this, because it's just what good fathers do. I'll protect him in his place where he's feeling the most vulnerable until he understands how to get courage and compassion to this spot in him, because it wasn't his fault. He didn't do this to himself. The freedom that we've seen him moving in, the ability that even willing to move out fast enough for me to fall off, it's beautiful. This, to me, it just feels sad, but also just hope-filled, because he's staying right here. Like, I'm not holding his head here. He's staying here in this place where his father, would you show me how to be healed here? Because this spot continues to be a place where I just feel insecure and hidden. This is that one thing that I don't want anybody to know. Full on. I don't know if you guys can see on the screen, but the rope is He's just holding his head here. Just ask yourself, is there these places in your life where you're just scared to sit in it with Holy Spirit and say, will you heal up this thing? Help me to know how to forgive, how to be released from, to where I can have so much love and compassion that I can move again. It's a good job, buddy. I wouldn't have you clap, but y'all ought to be screaming inside right now if you realized what a breakthrough he just had. 100% focused on this one side that he knew that he would never be able to get over that. I don't have a great memory, but I only remember this happened a few times with someone that's been this shut down on just one side. And so I can't just blow past it and think that I'm not talking about somebody in the room right now. Because if we're in love with you, and that's the only reason that we would do this, is that there has been something that's been so rearranged within us to where we want to give our lives away so that others can be set free, with Jesus being the model of that. And that doesn't mean that I'm making a martyr of myself. It means that this is the only thing I know how to do. Something got healed inside of me to where I've the only thing I want to do is give this away. And as he's so brilliantly showing us what can happen, because he rested in this place of his own brokenness, knowing that I need healed, and he finally got an answer for it. He's actually speeding up his walk. When we know what someone's intentions are, it makes it a whole lot easier to cooperate. And when my sons are convinced of what my heart is for them, the battle of wills begins to just break down. And the authority that we've been given as fathers becomes something that can be embraced. That doesn't just happen in minutes. Usually, my experience has been more years of consistently staying in a place to where I want to be here with you, even in your broken spots. And I want you to be here long enough that you can see that the only thing that I have to give you is not as a man. It's as a son of God that's going to show you who the Father really is. And if we're going to be the ones that are leading a generation of people that are continuing to even struggle with their own gender now, how far has it got to go before us as men know what to do to say that we can fight and punish and shame and accuse and whine and complain, or we can do something about it? And the doing something about it looks like something that we can read in the New Testament, when Jesus, surrounded by an opposing culture, didn't compromise the truth, but presented the truth in such loving and powerful ways. There wasn't a way to be on the fence. you had to decide, I'm either for Jesus or I'm against him. And I don't know if you've ever realized that there's a line. Notice which direction we were going in. He was moving that quickly. There was a cost for freedom. We're getting to enjoy it in this nation. But the ultimate freedom is the freedom over sin and death. That there's your inner man isn't got to be the one that continues to boss you around. I got a question. Anybody here want to say yes? Oh, that was about the same. This might just be a me thing, but me saying yes to Jesus, me saying yes to Father God, me saying yes to Holy Spirit, me realizing that I'm caught up in this world that I don't fully understand, the confidence, the freedom, the ability to have something to give away. Like I found out that I didn't give up anything. I got set free from something. It's hard in the process, like it's an easy decision. Like we can say yes. It's not complicated, but this challenge of learning to be in him, to move and to breathe with every part of your being. That within a matter of, if I could just have a few more hours, he would anticipate what it is that I'm doing, what it is that I'm focused on. He would become focused on what I'm focused on. Can you see that this is everything that Jesus was handing to us when he said that there's a vine and there's a branch and they can't bear fruit unless they stay connected? That this horse is one thing completely different when he's apart from me. But because he can become one with me through his own will, that he will do things that were impossible a minute ago. And he won't just live his life subservient to me, but he's gonna be one that just sees that all that his giftings and all his abilities were given to him so that he could go and take care of others. That he's now got something to give away. That something that once lived like a prey animal. He's not a predator, he's the prey. But realize what he just transitioned into. He's carrying a force that becomes if you can stand with it. He's the one that now has authority over everything. That there's nothing that we can't walk into together that he doesn't carry all of my authority with it. To where when we can walk into a room, we realize that someone's not just dealing with a man. That there's an authority that's being carried, that's been given to by design from the God who created us. There's a lot there for Aaron to spend the next forever. How do we do this? But if the Holy Spirit came to give us power so that our words, our testimonies actually bring life to other people, and the spirit of prophecy gets wrapped up in that, that now we're not just telling stories that went like old rewrite stories. These are words that carry life with them. So we get to carry the answers that the whole world is running around looking for. Okay, first time since we've been in here, he just took a deep breath. And so everything inside of me wants to do what's next, and that's to give him a saddle and don't think it's time. He's done so good. If you realize what he's overcome, what he said yes to, he said yes to something that he still isn't going to be able to explain it. There are no words for it. But it's very real. Something just shifted. And I think that's for all of us, and we get to decide what we're going to do with it, because from glory to glory, we have this Father that just continues to give promise upon promise on what it is that he wants to do to make it to where our broken story gets brought back and made whole. And we go forward with this wholeness and this life and this generosity and this compassion that makes it to where the whole world is going to say, who are these people? They're going to see our good works and they're going to glorify God because of it. Yeah, Aaron. Thank you all.
Hey, what I want to do just in these last remaining moments, if we could just, this is a holy moment. You know what I love about these events like this, they are different every time. The horse last night was different than this one. And what I love about that is that you're different from the person next to you and the person behind you and the person in front of you. And the story of our Heavenly Father wooing us back to him is not necessarily a straight line. It's back and it's forth. It's up and it's down. It's side to side. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And what we just witnessed here is something that's real. I mean, that horse had a lot of fear. You could see it in it. It tremored. It shook when Todd got around it. It bucked him off. How many of you, like, for a split second, like, you didn't breathe for a second? You're like, did Todd just die? And some of us have been doing that with God. Some of us have been doing that with people that love us in our lives. And maybe we didn't physically buck them off, but we did so emotionally. We did so spiritually. And some of us have maybe good reason to have some of that defensive built up because we've been hurt, and we do not want to be hurt any longer. And for some of us, like, everything is a threat and everything we're suspicious of, and everything within us says protect ourselves and stay in control. And I don't know, man, maybe that describes somebody listening to the sound of my voice today. And If you have a difficult time trusting people, if you have a difficult time trusting authority, if you've been hurt, then there is a God who understands. And we have been born wild into this world in sin, and we so desperately want to be set free, and there is a God who wants to set you free. And he is not surprised by any of the pain or any of the hurt that you have going on in your life. And what I want you to know is that that pain and that hurt, that's what sin does. Self-inflicted sin, the sin of others in our lives. And just like Todd, God is going to continue to pursue you. And for some of you, maybe you came to this event because you've heard that there was gonna be a live horse in a room and you thought, well, I wanna see what's gonna happen. And I'm glad for that, but I want you to meet the God who loves you and will continue to stay patiently pursuing of you. And for some of you, you're gonna quite possibly be like Boone, that was his name, the horse. Like, you're just gonna kind of buck it off and you're just gonna kind of go on and say, well, not right now. And that's okay. There is a God who's gonna continue to pursue you. He is not offended by your skepticism or your guardedness, and he will keep staying in that ring, pursuing after you, but he will not leave you where you are. The Bible says that it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. I don't know what you think of when you think of the word repentance. I'm not quite sure what comes to your mind when you think of kindness, but I can almost guarantee those two words very rarely make it into the same sentence. It is not God's wrath that brings you to repentance. It is not God's harshness that brings you to repentance. It's not God's morality that brings you. It's his kindness, because you are a son or a daughter of the King who may not yet fully know who you are as an heir of the kingdom. And he wants to release you from the things that are keeping you in bondage. The lordship of Jesus Christ is not meant to dominate. It's not meant to control. It's not meant to crush you. It's meant to set you free. And that means that Jesus desires to do for you what Todd just did for this horse, to step into your fear and your insecurity and your defensiveness and to set you free. And Todd could only lead that horse so far into freedom, but at some point, that horse is going to have to surrender. We saw a little bit of it tonight, but it's gonna have to surrender more, and so will you and so will I. And you may not like the word surrender, because maybe that signals to you some different things. Maybe that signals weakness, or that signals like a loss of control. But what I want you to see is that you just saw something opposite, that is a horse that is inching its way towards understanding what it means to be free and to know who it really is. And that horse did not lose his life. He found a little bit more of it. And he went from fear to some more peace. And he went from chaos to some additional clarity and some resistance to a connection. That's what happens when you begin to put your trust in a good, good master. So some of you right now are at that exact moment in your life. There's this, maybe this kind of internal tension, this sort of pull, this conviction, like you're kind of like, it doesn't feel very comfortable. It kind of feels uncomfortable, like, it's been an hour, can we just leave? And what I want you, soon enough, but what I want you to know is that the barriers that you continue to put up, God wants to lower them, even just a little bit, even if it's just one or two of them. And can I just very lovingly say to you, hey man, if you've been running from God, just stop running. If you've been deflecting the conviction of the Holy Spirit, just stop deflecting, stop resisting, stop trying to control everything. Control is an illusion. God is more trustworthy than you might think. That individual in your life may not have been, that parent may not have been, that boss may not have been, that former pastor may not have been, but God is trustworthy. And today you can surrender your life to Jesus Christ, who wants the best for you, to help you step into your true identity and to give you a hope and a future. A moment where you say with sincerity from your heart, Jesus, I trust you and I give you my life. Would you please take the lead? And if that's you right now, what I wanna ask you to do is not in a hype-filled way, just in a very thoughtful way. If you just bow your heads and close your eyes, I just want you to pray this sincere prayer from your heart. Just let me lead you through it. You just pray this from your heart. Jesus, I believe. And I may not quite fully believe all the way, and I've still got some questions and some hesitations, and a lot like Boone the horse, like I jump every time you come near. And I've bucked a few times, and I've been running, and I've been resisting, and I've been trying to do life on my own terms, but tonight, as best as I know how, I surrender, even if just a little bit. I believe that you died for me, and I believe that you rose again. And would you, if it, any of this is true, would you please set me free? Would you please give me a new heart and teach me to trust you? I want to give you my life. I want to surrender. I want to believe. So would you help me in that? And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, with your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, just for one quick additional second here, if you prayed that prayer from a sincere heart, the Bible says that if you acknowledge Jesus before others, I'll acknowledge you before my Heavenly Father. Would you just maybe just slip up your hand and just say, hey, I prayed that prayer. Yeah, man, I see hands going up all over the room, man. And I want to thank you for trusting us enough to just say, yeah, man, you raised your hand and you prayed that. It was a physical act that you just did. Now, if you would, just open your eyes and just kind of look right at me. We want to celebrate that with you. And the Bible says that your next step in responding to Jesus after asking him into your heart is to go public with that through baptism. And if you are desire to do that, your very next step would be, you can pull out your phone and scan a QR code before you leave, and it'll take you to some instructions for how to set up your baptism with us. We would be thrilled to walk with you through that. We're going to do baptisms the first weekend of May. And right now, can we just celebrate anybody that just prayed that prayer from a sincere heart? You know, last night, Todd was able to put a saddle on the horse. And what I love about this, he didn't quite fully get there with Boone. Because once again, your spiritual walk is just kind of maybe up and down and side to side. And maybe there are some of you that kind of wanted to pray the prayer, but then you didn't. And you know what? That is okay. Man, you keep showing up. You keep taking one step forward. And there is a God who will continue to patiently pursue you. And so will we. And man, I want to thank my brother, Todd. Todd, you okay? You doing all right? Did you catch your breath? Dude, that was amazing. If I got bucked off a horse, I'd still be in the dirt. You okay?
Yeah, we all got to be good at something. And so I figured since I'm not good at riding them, you got to get good at falling off them.
Well, I already thought you were, my respect level for you is already here. It just went right up there. That was amazing.
Because I got bucked off. In the cowboy world, that actually is pretty embarrassing. Lost my hat and everything.
So. No, you look like a stud. Although we will take a still shot of it and we will turn it into some sort of
I'm sure we can have a lot of fun.
Hey, can we give it up for Todd, man? Just thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Hey, we love you guys. We'd love to see you back at another weekend very, very soon. Go live free.